Fred Film Radio, Zurich Film Festival, Switzerland.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 13th Zurich Film Festival. Today I'm in company of Glenn Close and Hans Stark, the two protagonists of The Wife by Bjorn Runge. Glenn Close is also here to receive the Icon Award. So, what did it attract you about playing this part?
I think both of us were incredibly attracted to the complexity of this woman. And it wasn't just a simple kind of cliche that it was about a very specific woman and a very specific marriage. And I think the kind of examination of what they kind of almost spontaneously got into that was both based on character more than they knew, how it evolved in their life and in their marriage and what the consequences of that were.
Could you relate to sacrificing your work for your family and love?
I can relate to it. Yeah, I can relate to it in some ways, but it's never a happy situation, I don't think. I think you have to have both work. You know, you can't, you know, ideally you should have both. You should be able to have a love in your life, and you should be able to be who you are and do what you do.
But was there a moment in which it was very conflictuous to have both things?
Oh, yes, I thought you were talking about now. Absolutely. I mean, my mother basically sacrificed everything for my to be with my father. I mean, it was in my life that they got married when they were very young, but he had an incredible education. He became a surgeon, and she never went to finish high school. And at the end of her life, in her mid-80s, she would say, I feel like I've accomplished nothing. You know, and that's made me incredibly sad because she could have accomplished a lot.
Han, you're not the only second generation in the film. There's also Max Irons.
Who I've known since I was like 3.
Well, your parents have achieved a lot.
Yeah, I think with a lot of professions, if you have a successful parent or a well-known parent in your own chosen profession and you want to follow in their footsteps, of course it comes with a bit of shaky, territory. And I also think people are very easy to pass judgment, of course. But at the same time, Max and I are lucky enough to have been raised by extraordinarily creative, wonderful people. And I could say to you to all of you with absolute sincerity, I've known what I've wanted to do since I was extremely young. And being from, such an extraordinarily wonderful, again, creative family and environment, it just made sense to me. And it's something that, as any actor would say, it's just a part of who you are, So I think it came as absolutely no surprise to my parents, who, of course, know me well and saw it coming from miles away. It's tough finding your own footing. It's kind of a beautiful struggle. I don't know. I think it's important in any profession and in the world to get what you have through hard work and on your own merit. And you have to, you have to have something to offer, and you have to remain passionate and hungry, despite the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, here I am.
You also have your father's name, so can you tell us more what it means to have that name as well?
Right. Just my own name. I'm proud to have my name. I'm proud to have my father's name. I love my father, and I'm lucky that he's an incredible, supportive man who was raised by a wonderful woman who instilled in him that women are just as wonderful as men, and he has 2 daughters. I have a half sister, and he loves being the father of daughters. He constantly tells me that, and he does. It's so if I'm going to make, you know, my own way in this, I think it's an honor, and I think to, you know, to elevate my name, should that happen in the world, I think would be to venerate him as well, in a way. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I think you can have your own, whatever name you want. You could go and change it if you want. You know, you don't have to be chained to a name, you know. And I think people need to kind of remember that.
My name always made me feel very special because, first of all, I've never met another woman called Glenn.
Oh, that's great.
And it was Glenn Close. For some reason, my parents didn't give their girls middle names. So, Tina, Glenn, and Jesse. And I liked Close because it's in the near the beginning of the alphabet. Mm-hmm. So in school, I was usually near the front of the line, which I liked.
And how it was to set yourself apart from the legacy of your family?
I never felt any pressure from that whatsoever. My dad was a doctor, mm-hmm. and I think actually he was sad that none of his kids went into medicine. Exactly. I know that I made him very proud. So,
Hun, you were also in Albert Nobbs, right?
Well, it was a little bit. As was our family, friends, my best friend at all. So it was, you know, a fun little. But this is the first movie that we count this as our first.
When did you really perceive your mom as the actress?
I probably really understood, you know, when do you really start to understand the world around you? Probably five or, you know, four or five.
Sunset? Maybe.
No, it's funny because I never, like, had an aha moment. It was just what my mother did. The not-so-normal nature of my childhood seemed profoundly normal to me, so.
We're finally watching more films about strong women, or at least with strong female protagonists. So do you think that something's really changing, or that simply actresses are speaking out as they're tired of the same old roles?
I think Hollywood has always loved a strong character. I mean, look at Elizabeth Taylor and Cleopatra, you know. I don't think it's anything new for Hollywood to love a strong female character. I think, you know, perhaps maybe the larger studios, you know, which certainly I think, you know, the demographic that constituted 14 to 45-year-old men, you know, but so of course that they, you know, have to follow a certain formula. Their job is to make money, but of course I think. You know, let's do a recent example, you know, like Wonder Woman, for example, a extremely strong female character that happened to make the studio a lot of money. So
there's
now,
also
hopefully.
A really good script.
Yeah.
It's a very good
so
script.
So hopefully now, you know, it's you're quite frankly, I know it's kind of, yeah. it's sad to admit, but the money making will, you know.
Yeah. Does it still happen that some actresses beyond 40 don't really survive in the business?
Yeah.
So Glenn, you did it. How did you make it?
Well, I think it's because I basically don't think I always have to do film or if I'm offered a story that I think is good, I'll do it if it's, you know, it doesn't depend on the paycheck or, you know, I really care about the story and whether it will challenge me. It's problematic, so that would be interesting.
You often portrayed powerful women, bad women, strong women. Could you see what directors and scriptwriters saw in you, and which effect did that have on you?
Well, when I first met Stanley Jaffe, who was the producer of Fatal Attraction, for example, mm-hmm. it was summer, and I wore this dress and a little hat. Mm-hmm. Which had nothing to do with the character. But I guess our conversation was interesting enough for him to say, come back, and then they say, be sexy. So, nobody...
It's part of our craft.
Nobody
to be
thought
something
that
different.
They were so sure that I was wrong for that part. That I mean, Sherry Lansing tells the story in her book, and everything she says is absolutely true. My agent begged them for at least just an audition, and I think I was doing something on stage, and they flew me out, and Sherry was so embarrassed that I was even there that she didn't even, you know, come and say hello. And then during the audition, you know, the director said, "You better come and see this." So I don't think, I would like to think, there's nothing basically in my character that has said, "Oh, this person's going to be a really mean and cruel person." I also don't think of those characters as mean and cruel. I love to figure out the why of behavior, and I think the only truly cruel person I've played is Cruella de Vil.
Speaking of Fatal Attraction, is that true that you fought to have another ending?
We shot the script that I was given. She killed herself. She committed suicide, which would be really how that character ended.
What did they not choose that ending?
Because they tested it. And what happened is that after the fight in the kitchen, she kills herself, and his fingerprints are on the knife. So he was sent to jail. And everyone was so outraged, so upset, that they tested it. It's very famous. They tested it, and they made the decision to change the ending. Mm-hmm. So their solution was to make my character into a monster. Psychopath.
But actually, it took away some dignity out of the character.
Yeah, I think psychologically speaking, it was not who that character was. But if you talk about the psychology of the audience, I understand why they demanded that we change the ending, because it's a more satisfying ending, even though she dies. Mm-hmm. It's very Greek. It's very Shakespearean. You know, somebody comes and destroys order, and in order to regain order, there's bloodshed, and there's a possibility that peace and order can come back. And I think that audience, after being so upset and frightened, wanted that, you know, that possibility. Mm. But for me, it was incredibly difficult.
Where do you find joy in the business?
In the process, absolutely. That's what we have, right? You choose a piece of material. If you're lucky enough, you become a member of a very, very creative team, and the process is. Mm-hmm. Incredible. I love the collaboration. And then we hand it over. You know, we've done our job. And what feeds my soul, and I think the soul of any artist, is just the creation and the process. And then it's all given to, you know, the PR people.
Thank you so much, Glenn Close, icon award protagonist of The Wife and Anne Stark. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 13th Zurich International Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.